Welcome everyone to Dr. Jack's Lantern, The Light to a Better Life. This is Donna Smith and I'm here with Leon Mauser.
Hello everyone. I congratulate you for being here today. We have some really important topic to cover.
Yes, the topic we call, Are We Murderers? Yes. Over the last few weeks, we've been reviewing each of the Ten Commandments, discussing how it is the basis for making good decisions in our lives. God has given us instructions, right, to guide us on our path back to Him. And basically, we are trying to stay on His side in this war against the devil.
You know, our belief system, that's the foundation for all of our decisions that we make. And it's making sure that we're aligned with God's word is the key thing. And obeying the Ten Commandments is the start. You know, the filters in our belief system are the ones that allow us to, we could entertain a thought without accepting the thought. So be sure that you know temptations all around you. You can entertain a thought, but you don't want to be able to accept all those thoughts.
That's right. And we really do hope that Dr. Jack's Lantern, The Light to a Better Life, will inspire you to gather a group together to start discussions on how to live a better life using God's letter to us, the Bible. We have a feeling that this particular commandment, the fifth commandment, is going to be one that will spark some interest. We have at our disposal a wonderful private way to get together no matter where you live, and even have virtual breakout rooms that you can get with a group of people and break them out in discussion and then come back together. As you may have heard in our podcast, there is plenty to discuss, especially with your peers.
You know, along the way, we'll be presenting you with questions so related to the topics for you to research. And, of course, discuss, like Donna said, and she just mentioned, with others. And, of course, what she said, the beauty of our system is it's private. There's nobody's going to interfere with you, and you'll be the only ones using it. Now, think about this for a second. Nobody's going to bother your discussions when you get on live conferencing. You'll be able to meet new friends. You'll be able to discuss things with people that you may not even know, and from different places and different backgrounds. So at Dr. Jack's Lantern, we're trying to make studying the Bible and learning God's word exciting for you. And today, we're going to discuss the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill.
Now, here we're going to break again because it is very important to educate everybody on the importance of the translation from the Hebrew words or Aramaic words into the English words. In Hebrew, the word that was inaccurately translated to kill, for English, the Hebrew word is roth, to suck. Now, I apologize for my pronunciation. I probably don't have the right pronunciation, but it's kind of pronounced like roth, to suck. And that means murder, not the generic English word of kill. So if we all kind of remember our math, maybe not, we used to have sets and subsets. Or maybe an easier way to understand it is a topic and then a subtopic. Well, the topic is kill. The big subset is kill. Kill has a whole lot of ways of killing. But murder is a little subset or a subtopic within the overall kill.
And, you know, by the way, this is the first time murder itself or rapshot has been used in the Bible. And it's not used often, but mostly only for referring to this commandment number 5.
That's right. And the commandment's not actually given until how many books in, you know, the second book. So there's a lot of stories going on in Genesis where they talk about killing. It's not murder. It's killing. And so there is a difference. The more Hebrew common word that you actually find in the Old Testament is kill. And that's shakat. Again, pronunciation, I apologize. It means to kill, slaughter. That's a much broader definition, like we talk about the big topic or set. So this commandment actually reads, thou shalt not murder.
You know, most actually dismiss thinking about this commandment because they never say that they would ever kill anybody and ever murder anybody. There's feelings against that from when they're born. Well, there's all kinds of reasons why we wouldn't think about doing that, let alone the law, or just, you know, the guilt that would be hanging over your head all the time, God's retribution. But you know what? In this podcast, we like to, many of us are just guilty of breaking this commandment without knowing it. Why are we doing that? Well, what we do is sometimes we put ourselves in a position of murder.
That's so true, Leon. And before we actually go into all those ways that we put ourselves in that way, I think we need to explain another way that we are saying you are sinning by putting yourself in a position of, remember, sinning is falling away from God. And this way, everybody will understand where we're coming from as we go through the topics. There is a difference between the sin of commission, meaning you're committing the sin, and there's also the sin of omission, knowing about the sin or the thing that a person's doing wrong, but not stopping or saying something to possibly stop that from happening. Even something as simple as our thoughts for road rage. You know, people don't get into that fact that or realize that just by allowing yourself to get so upset while you're driving a car, okay, can lead to a wrongful death, can lead to murder, okay, definitions of murder, because realize that during that thought process of road rage, you are driving a vehicle that has the potential to be a murder weapon. It's 1 to 2 tons of a murder weapon.
You know, those are some choices that people make, and we've all seen road people that are in a hurry on the road and they cut us off. That happens to everybody. And the way, and because it does, you don't want to go on ahead and let your emotions get out of control. And that's the most important thing to do. Because, you know, remember we talked about last podcast, we talked about the 3 C's of life. You know, the circumstances that come up, like someone cuts you off in the middle of the highway. And then you got to make a choice, and then those choices, they are consequences to those choices, no matter what you make. So if you're in the middle of a road rage, and you've got that circumstance, the best choice you should make is to go on ahead and cool yourself down and make sure that your consequences are very healthy for you in the long run. You know, I see people zooming past me all the time. I used to really get mad, but you know, I have to overcome that, because once I start getting mad, what's going to happen when the next guy comes and cuts me off? Maybe I could get wrapped up into that, what Satan wants me to do. He wants me to lose my common sense is what he wants me to do.
And that really is bringing out kind of the point where we're trying to say you're putting yourself in a position of possibly doing murder.
You know, how many people today are living with psychological weight of not reporting to someone if someone has stated publicly that they're going to hurt somebody? You know, I see this a lot. They've been in these school shootings. I mean, this is just so ridiculous, where people have actually, after the fact, gone to these people's Facebook accounts, their social media accounts, and they find out that they've been promoting, and they're publicly promoting that they're going to go on and harm somebody. But no one has the guts or the intestinal fortitude to report these people. Now, I'm not talking about putting yourself in harm's way. But what I'm talking about is things that you can do to prevent this from happening. You know, I see too many times this has happened.
Yeah. And you know what, Leon, that we're not just talking about how we feel about things. This is in the Bible. In Leviticus 5, verse 1, it says, if any person refuses to give the information which, as a witness of something he has seen or learned, he has been adjourned to give and thus commits a sin and has a guilt to bear. So it's one of those things that they're pointing. You have a not just a right, you have a responsibility to be reporting this.
In Leviticus 19:16, it says very plain, do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life.
Right, right. It says, it continues with that saying, nor shall you stand by idly when your neighbor's life is at stake. I am the Lord. So we're not supposed to just stand by for that.
And it all goes back to what Jesus had said. You know, love your brothers like I have loved you. Don't bring any definite problems to your brother's life.
Right. That's right. And you know what? There's another one that, in the New Testament, there's several, and in Ezekiel. And it's funny because I'm just remembering this one from Ezekiel, and I'm looking it up right now.
about the watchman? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Read the one about the watchman.
Yes. So give me just a half a moment here as I pull it up in my. Isn't that funny? I should know exactly where it's at.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? While I'm looking up Ezekiel, there's that part in Matthew. Could you pull up Matthew?
Yes. I remember, you know, in Matthew, Jesus is quoted as saying, therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments, they'll be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So there's your choice, ladies and gentlemen. You want to be called least by not teaching them? Or you want to be called great in the kingdom of heaven because you follow them and you're aligned with God and because you have that unworldly view of things, you have a spiritual view.
Very good. And it really specifically spells it out in Ezekiel. And it's Ezekiel 33. And it says, son of man, speak thus to your countrymen. When I bring the sword against a country and the people of this country select one in their number to be their watchmen, and the watchman, seeing the sword coming against the country, blows the trumpet to warn the people. Anyone hearing but not heeding the warning of the trumpet, and therefore is slain by the sword that comes against him, shall be responsible for his own death. Now he that heardeth the trumpet blast, yet refused to take warning, he is responsible for his own death. For he had he taken the warning, he would have escaped with his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and fails to blow the warning trumpet so that the sword comes and takes anyone, I will hold the watchman responsible for that person's death, even though that person is taken because of his own sin. So it's very explicit.
It is very explicit, and it goes back to the point of how we should take care of each other. It's so many different places in the Bible. Can you find a few more places in the Bible where it says that we have to look out for our brother? What about the Great Commission? And that's what Donna and I are doing right here. We're letting everybody know about the Word of God. Can you find out some things in the Bible that will help you your brother more? The Bible's all about that, you know?
Yeah. I refer back to this being our brother's keeper, you know, and how so many people, well, I'm not my brother's keeper. And it says, well, God says you're supposed to, okay? And not only does he say you're supposed to be the brother's keeper, but I used to have a pastor who used to say, judgment will start at the pulpit. Meaning, on Judgment Day, the first people that are coming up here are those preachers. And that refers back again to Matthew, but it's chapter 18 this time, and it says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea.
Oh, that's so dramatic. And it's true, too. I get chills just listening to that. You know, Matthew 12:30, Jesus says, he who's not with me is against me. He who does not gather or leave together with me, they scatter. Now, I have a quote that Revelation 3:15, it says that I know your deeds. Jesus knows your deeds. and that you're either cold nor hot. I wish you were either one. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You see, Jesus wants to know what side of the room you're standing on. He wants to know where you're standing. Do you love him or do you not love him? Or do you not know if you love him? That's what he wants to know.
And you know what? It's like with anything. Anytime anybody is doing anything, if you think about what side a person's on, at least you know which way to approach. It's the middle ground. You don't even know what to do. If you're with me, okay, everything's fine. If you're against me, well, then maybe I can figure out a way to convince you or explain to you what it is. And that's why God really hates those tepid people, those wishy-washy things. I really do wish that more people, more preachers, the priests, they would explain and teach this sin of commission and omission, you know, more often, because the truth is we are supposed to help each other. We are our brother's keepers. That
I
is,
agree with,
yeah.
So much I agree with that, you know, and just looking overall on what we've been talking about in the last few minutes, I just keep thinking back of why they don't have the Bibles in schools. They wouldn't need them in the prisons. So, and you know, Donna, we are one of the per capita people in prisons that are in the entire world. So there's one place where you have a captive audience if you want to go be a prison preacher. So you'd be able to do really well there.
Yeah.
So, and what we want to do now, let's go through, is life a gift? Is life your gift? We talked about this a lot. You know, I have a story that I'd like to share with you that was shared with me once. Just envision the entire coast of the United States on 4th of July, and everybody up and down the coast is at the beach, including you. Now, what if there was a challenge put forth where everybody would have to jump into the Atlantic Ocean, and their challenge was to swim to England? Well, what? There's got to be 80 million people jumping in the water trying to swim to England. Some of them made it 100 yards. Some of them may make it a couple of miles. But guess what? You made it all the way. It only takes one sperm to fertilize an egg. And you were the one that swam the quickest and the furthest. And now I'm telling you what's so important is that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And think about that.
That's the whole premise behind this, thou shalt not murder. Our lives are precious gifts. Our life is a gift, and that's what we have to remember. One of the things, murder is a wrongful death, period. And there's so many different ways that we have wrongful deaths. One of them is suicide, okay? We have to remember our bodies are a gift. They are our life that we've been given by God. It's a holy vessel. I mean, we can go on to a whole nother topic about how God treats our bodies and says it's a vessel. You're not supposed to be doing a lot of things, you know, to it because it's leased from God. It's really not ours. It's God's. It's God's gift to us, and we're leasing it.
And how much do we abuse that? You know, you see it every day, and like, what about smoking cigarettes? What a tragedy that is. I mean, there's people that dying left and right at families are smoking because they thought it was a good thing to do, and now they can't get off the habit.
It's, you know, interesting that there's even some religions that ban smoking, you know, the priesthoods and certain things, because they recognize that smoking is too much of a risk to their bodies.
I can remember when I got on an airplane and took off, everybody would light up a cigarette. It's lucky we're all alive still, you know. But, you know, that's one of the ways that you have. But killing, you know, could take place if you have bad eating habits or if you're doing any kind of drugs of any kind of sort. But, you know, we're looking about, remember that podcast we had? That was the last podcast. we're talking about how important your genealogy is and how important it was for all of these people to line up in order to make you able to be here at this moment, in this time, in this place. And what was it? What we did is we looked at, we said, well, you need two parents to get born. You need four grandparents to get born. You need eight great-grandparents to get born. Now, if we extrapolate that number out to 12 generations, that means that 4,094 people had to go through their life looking and all of the suffering that they went through, all of the negative things that they had to go through, just in order for you to be here today. And anything that would interrupt that would throw the whole genealogy off. Let's take an idea. If a person makes a difference, what about 6 million Jews that were murdered in the Holocaust?
Oh, yes.
You know, people can't comprehend those numbers. We could fill Yankee Stadium for a whole season after every game we sent them to the crematory. We still wouldn't have 6 million Jews that were murdered by the Nazis. What a tragedy that was.
A terrible tragedy. It really is. Now, going back to suicide that we were, you know, kind of touching upon and making people think about it, we will make the statement that there are people that are completely out of their minds. Now, we all know that suicide is sometimes people say, well, that is, I'm out of my mind with certain things, but you have to make it deliberate. Suicide is a deliberate act of killing yourself. And there's a lot of people that are not in their right minds. And so that falls like into a different category because they're not completely sane.
Or, but, you know, it's their decision whether they're going to drive drunk or not. It's their decision whether they're going to be abusing drugs and driving or maybe operating a machinery where they could get fat, or even, you know, a lot of sexual activities. There's a lot of diseases going on. Who knows what kind of a disease you can get? But like I mentioned before, you know, even overeating could be a problem too. Well, all that junk that up and down the aisles of the store, there's so many things that they don't even tell you what the ingredients are in them anymore. And people are eating them because they taste good and they make you feel good. But, you know, that's that alignment with God that we talked about, I think, in the first podcast where, you know, if you're off 2 degrees, you know, when you're eating, you might be off 2 degrees. But if you continue on that path, that 2 degrees is going to be huge, and it's going to get yourself into some physical problems. And it won't go away. It'll be so hard to get rid of.
That's right. And that's what we want you to all think about and what we're talking about with this commandment, thou shalt not murder. Don't put yourself in a position of murder, whether that's driving the car or murder of yourself from overeating or the other things that you were talking about. So putting yourself in the position of murder in itself is starting to break that commandment.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, another one is euthanasia. With the gift of euthanasia, the gift of life, is euthanasia, is that against Bible's teachings?
Well, it is, because the definition of euthanasia is ending a person's life. Okay, right there, you're ending. I mean, you could stop it right there. You can give it all the excuses you want. Oh, I'm limiting their suffering or whatever, but it's thou shalt not murder. You are not supposed to be taking away a person's life. And the question is, why? I mean, think about, why should we not end a person's life? We all know it's a gift. We just talked about that, and you can talk more about that, but it's a gift. And our bodies are a lease from God. But why not end their suffering? What's the reason that we shouldn't do that?
If we do, what we're doing is we're putting ourselves in a position of being God. And that's quite a wrong thing. You will find yourself in big trouble when you start playing God. And there's so many people that just want to play God. They want to rule the world. They want to take control. They want to tell everybody what else to do.
That's right. And we have to remember that we all have a purpose in this life. There is a reason we're here, and there's probably several purposes. When we end a life, whether it's through euthanasia, or killing ourselves, or murder in the more broader sense that everybody understands, we are taking away the opportunity of those lessons that that person is giving to somebody, is learning themselves, because there is a purpose we're here. Even a caretaker to someone who is suffering could be learning many lessons. And there are many times it's been quoted in different books and things where the person came to suffer this way to teach the lesson to the parent, the child, exactly. The caretakers. Yes. There is a purpose, and we are taking that away by euthanasia.
And what about the last one? Tell us about the abortion one, Donna.
What a touchy subject among so many people. And you know what? Yeah. We're going to give them food for thought, okay? First of all, science has already proved that abortion is murder. Science has done that, just as science and archaeology has proven the truth of the Bible. How many archaeologists have actually turned to the Bible to go, what city is this that we're digging up? Oh, look. There it is. It's the one about this, and they can follow along from that. Science proving all kinds of things.
And, you know, God gave us science to prove the Bible correct.
Right? I think that that was something that Dr. Jack had mentioned before.
That's what Dr. Jack told me yesterday.
That's right. So science has proven with ultrasounds, you know, of the fetus, 4 weeks, there's a heartbeat. It's a baby. It's a baby. So abortion is murder. Now, I have to laugh at that. I really do. I go both ways with the conversations that people want to talk about legally or whatever. There's so many hypocrites out there. You know, you have all these people that are for abortion by saying, it's my body. Okay. Well, first of all, we just want you to know again, that body is on lease from God. Okay, but these are the same people that are forcing us to take the jab. Okay, it's not a vaccine. We prove that. It doesn't actually stop you from getting that, but they want to prove it. And isn't that so hypocritical?
It is so much. It's just as hypocritical as that organization called Planned Parenthood. I mean, how hypocritical can you get? How many babies have been aborted from that organization? Hundreds of thousands of them. I mean, how many different genealogies does that change in the way we have presented this to you today?
Yes. And you know what? One other statement is, if you talk to any pastor, priest, or whatever, they'll tell you a whole other side of abortion. Forget about saying, oh, it's that murder. They say, I have to deal with the guilt, with the sanity of the mother that did that. Because I don't care if they had the baby or not, they're a mother. And they have to deal with that. Psalms 127, I'd like to read that real quickly. 127 verse 3 says, children too are a gift from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward.
Wow. And you know what? Psalm 139, 13 and 14, they go back to what we're talking about today. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well.
Again, it talks about the womb right there in the Bible. It doesn't wait till it's afterwards. It talks about the womb.
And the sanctity of life for all of us.
And we'd love for you to, you know, comment or get together and have your own discussions on this. We are out of time. Let's close in prayer, Leon. Bow our heads, everyone. Ever-living God, you give life and desire a future for all your children. Take hold of our nation, state, and community, and awaken in every heart. Offer the gift of life. Send your spirit to strengthen us with wisdom and fortitude as we defend mothers and children in our country from laws that disregard their health and safety.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Donna. What a wonderful prayer.
Thank you, Leon.
And we'll leave